WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The internet is supposed to be a medium of information, but it sometimes seems as if half the traffic on news groups and web pages consists of rumors, tall tales, and urban legends. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg recently came across one of these, a curious tale about the origin of the word picnic.
Not long ago, a Stanford colleague forwarded me a posting that his niece had run into on an African-American internet discussion list. It urged people to stop using the word picnic, which it claimed was derived from the phrase, pick a nigger. The story was that white people used to do lynchings as family affairs, where they would take a lunch along and play music, then pick a black person to hang from a tree. My colleague's niece had asked him if there was any truth to the message, and he forwarded it to me in my capacity as the local expert on curious word lore. I wrote back to tell him that the etymology was bogus. In fact, picnic goes back to a French word for a potluck dinner that was coined in the 17th century, a couple of hundred years before lynching became an American custom. My friend sent my message to his niece, who in turn forwarded the information to the list where she had read the original posting. But I don't have any illusions that this will do much by way of discrediting the story. That picnic etymology has been circulating on the internet for years, despite the numerous rebuttals that have been posted. The tale even surfaced in the press a couple of months ago when African-American students at the State University of New York at Albany objected to calling a student-run event a picnic, a story that conservative columnists were naturally quick to pick up on as their PC excess of the week. But that doesn't seem to have slowed it down either. That's typical of the way these tall tales move around in cyberspace, always a step ahead of the corrections. But I also have the sense that in this case, the rebuttals miss the point. Of course the picnic etymology is silly, and unlike most urban legends, this one can be checked out just by opening a dictionary. But then it isn't factual plausibility that makes for successful legends, urban or otherwise. What matters is their dramatic plausibility. And the picnic story has got that down perfectly. It's a familiar theme in these tales, where inoffensive texts or images are always turning out to conceal some sinister sign. There are the dust clouds in The Lion King that are said to form the letters S-E-X, the Snapple label that contains a picture of a slave ship and an emblem of the Ku Klux Klan, the anti-Islamic message that appears when you turn the Coca-Cola logo upside down. And what could be a better example of the process than the idea that a word as innocent-sounding as picnic contains the first syllable of that ugly word nigger, as if to suggest that even the most wholesome institutions of American life are tainted by our history of racism. It's a paranoid style that's common in urban legends about race, whatever their point of view. But it's particularly compelling when you give the story a linguistic form, as if the word has a secret, original meaning that's hidden in its syllables like a virus in an email attachment. It's an idea that's in the background whenever people are concerned with the occult powers of words. And it isn't surprising that it should come up now in connection with the language we use to talk about race and gender, which is just the most recent episode in our age-old obsession with the way words can magically alter experience. That's why the rebuttals of the picnic etymology seem beside the point. In the end, these are really stories about syllables, not origins. Not long after I had the exchange with my colleague about the picnic story, he mentioned to me that he had a professor who always tried to avoid using the word denigrate, since it comes by its meaning via a Latin root that means to blacken. I asked him if he thought his professor would have had the same feeling about atrocious, which comes from the Greek word for black. He got the point right away. No, he said, I guess it's just that denigrate has that syllable nig in it. It's the same kind of sound contamination that led Washington Mayor Anthony Williams to fire a white aide last year when he used the word niggardly in a discussion of the city budget. The press had a high time ridiculing the mayor on that one, and they were quite right to point out that niggardly is an innocent word of Scandinavian origin that has nothing to do with a racial epithet. Still, it's a little disingenuous to pretend that you can pronounce a word like niggardly now without evoking the echoes of its homonyms. In the end, people ought to realize that phonetics always trumps etymology. That's a principle that we all learned back when we were 6 years old and discovered what a scatological pleasure there could be in pronouncing the word shampoo.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.